10th of January afternoon session with Ludwig, Nina, Anne, Sarah, Azita, Sukin, Jonathan, Susie and Tom C.
So now there is no problem about sati, right? Moment with sati and moment without sati.
Just beginning to understand.
It's so natural, like seeing and hearing and anything, just sati follows and it's there. Yeah. Experience the same thing which has been experienced and still there. For sati to be aware.
Well, it's not simple. It's not simple.
But the object, reality is simple. But the panya develops so that it can understand.
I have another question. I would like to know more about the anusayas, the latent tendencies. Yeah. It is already difficult enough trying to understand one's daily portion of akusala thinking, akusala actions. It is even more difficult to understand the latent tendencies. And I would appreciate very much if you could explain more about the latent tendencies. What are the latent tendencies? How do they come into being? How does one recognize and understand one's latent tendencies? And how does one eradicate the latent tendencies, if that is possible? And the fourth point is, how do latent tendencies condition akusala in daily life?
Even the citta, which is not latent tendency, cannot be known now.
I see.
So what about the kilesa, which is so very fine, not show up, but it's there? For example, we think that this is clean, but can there be some moment that one can see that it's not as clean as it is?
Yes.
So it's like any moment of citta. It seems like citta at moment of kusala is so pure, no akusala cetasika accompany at all. But why the next moment it changed from being kusala into akusala?
Without any control, without any...
Because the germ of the akusala is there when it looks clean.
That is difficult if the anusayas, the latent tendencies, cannot be known.
But we can know when akusala cetasika arises.
I see.
Otherwise, no time to know.
But can they be eradicated, latent
tendencies?
Certainly.
Otherwise, Buddha will not become a Buddha.
Yes, of course. Yes,
yeah. And since it does not show up as the akusala cetasika, which accompany citta, so at this moment of talking about realities, and reality is experienced like whisper object, sound, and so forth, it's not the panya which can incite the true nature of reality yet. So we know that it's avicca, which we keep on talking about it, but we don't know when does it arise. But at that very moment of not knowing reality as it is, akusala citta is there with the very weak akusala cetasikas. Even so, it's not known yet. So the latent tendency is less than that. It cannot be seen, but it can be understood. At the moment of understanding reality, it eliminates avicca and latent tendency by itself.
It is the point.
Like the light and the darkness.
Yeah.
We don't have to use anything else to eliminate darkness.
Yeah.
Whenever
there
is light, light itself eliminates darkness. So the understanding now is eliminating avicca and latent tendency little by little. But it can be eradicated completely, absolutely, by Lokuttara citta only. The panya developed to that degree. Before that, the panya grows and experiences the true nature of realities little by little.
That is a very clear answer.
So who doesn't have latent tendencies?
Oh, we all have, yes, yes.
Only those who have enlightened.
The arahat has no more.
The sotapanna, the
sakatakani, no more latent tendencies?
Of wrong view or wrong understanding of reality.
Still avicca, ignorance.
There are seven kinds of latent tendencies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, seven kinds.
Which kinds?
Wrong view is one. Attachment to sensuous object.
It's a latent tendency.
Yes.
Also.
Mm-hmm. As long as one hasn't become anagami, it's there. So each latent tendency has to be eradicated by its proper locutra citta. The panya of the sotapanna cannot eradicate attachment to sensuous object. So it's there.
He cannot?
No.
Even the sotapanna cannot?
Yeah. So if one does want to have no attachment to sensuous object, it's wrong. It's not the ability of anyone who has to become sakatakami. Right understanding has to develop stage by stage. So it's so common to be attached to whatever is seen, heard, normalized.
It's all right then.
Who can judge? But it's right. Like yeah. That. We just talk about the truth. But one can see the danger. But one knows that it has to be like that. Until panya grows to that degree. At moment of birth, consciousness is there. While one is fast asleep, avanga is there.
So the latent tendencies are already there at birth.
Yeah. Otherwise, no need to develop panya. And since citta arises just one moment at a time, akusla, which has arisen and fallen away, pass on as condition for the arising of next moments, which will come later, since it's there. Like the stain in the glass.
But the latent tendencies condition akusala now and tomorrow and in the next moment.
And there are two words, asaya and anusaya. Asaya is the accumulation of both kusala and akusala, but anusaya is for akusala only. Because the citta does not accumulate only akusala, it also accumulates the kusala as well. So both are accumulated. And that is asaya. But when we talk about anusaya, it's only akusala dhamma. So we have different words like anusaya and asava.
Asava, that is a group of kilesas, not latent tendency. The intoxicants, it's called. Yeah. And they arise with the citta, but the latent tendency do not arise with the citta.
No, they condition the citta.
Yeah.
I have another question on which I'd like to seek your views. It is on the functions of the mind door. It can with difficulty understood how the sense doors work, but the mind door is much more difficult and much more subtle. What can the mind door know, and what is the base of the mind door?
Each citta arises and experiences an object. No matter at the birth moment, or the last moment, or during lifetime, one moment at a time. So at moment of seeing, if we name or call the citta, which has to have the eye base for its arising, then we call those moments of citta as cakkutavara, right? Not manodavara. Mano is mind door, and cakku. Cakkutavara is eye door. Cakku is eye, and cakkutavara is eye door. When citta experiences visible object, it's cakkutavara. But when there is no experiencing the visible object or other sense object, at moment of thinking, that is through mind door.
So then the mind door experiences the visible object?
We don't talk about visible object yet, but we talk about moment of thinking. It doesn't need eye door, ear door at all. So we can understand the mind door process at moment of thinking. But even after sense object, I mean the citta which has the sense object as its pajya, all those cittas have fallen away. There must be pavanga before mind door process. But since that object is experienced through the cakkutavara, then the mind door also experiences that object after. That's why even right now the body can tell what moment is sense door and what moment is mind door, because there is also pavanga in between. It shows the rapidity of the succession of jit from one moment to another moment.
Yes.
But when there is no sense door at all, we can understand that it's pure mind door.
But the mind door can also know and experience concepts.
Right. Anything. Yeah. It can know anything. Even nibbana.
Aha,
The sense door can know only its doorway, like whisper object can be experienced only through eye door, citta.
So in a way, the mind door is the leading door. Or is that not well said?
The difference is that mind dog can experience any object, while sense dog cannot experience any object.
Limited yeah. to certain fields. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have difficulties in talking about the base of the mind dog, the heart base, it is said. But what is the heart base? What is the base for the eye, for visual object? It's quite clear. It's the eye, it's the ear. But where do you place the mind door? Or is that a silly question, irrelevant?
One has to know that in the five khandhas plane, citta cannot arise outside or far apart from rupa. So that rupa, which is the birthplace or arising place of citta, is hatiyavattu. Heart base,
yeah.
Because the citta arises there. Like the seeing consciousness arises at the eye base, so the other cittas arises at the heart base.
But does we have to take that literally?
Yeah, I was also wondering if it's figurative language. Like citta goes. This is so strange.
We think citta in terms of hand and legs. Moving from this to that. But actually it's not like that. There is no citta. But whenever there are conditions for its arising, it arises no matter where. So we don't mind whether it arises on air or down in the water or here at all. But whenever there are conditions for its arising, it arises. In the five khandhas plane, the citta needs to have rupa as its arising place.
Yeah. Anyhow, it must have rupa.
I have a mental picture of citta at the place going up.
No.
But that's wrong.
No, because in the five khandhas plane, the citta cannot just arise on the air.
No, at the eye or ear, but it's so strange, at something.
What about the rupa at moment of birth? No eyes, no ears,
no.
But citta arises at the heart base. And the heart base is conditioned by karma. So the karma produces the vipaka cittas, and the vipaka cittasikas accompany vipaka citta, and also rupa, which is conditioned by karma. And one of them is heart base. It's unseen.
The moment of birth.
Yes.
Like the moment of conception.
If we don't use any term at all, just talk about the first moment in life, no matter what you call it. And it has to be citta, the vipaka citta too, not other citta, the result of a karma. But that karma is conditioned by all experiences, kusala and akusala, in one's life, not just that karma. That's why we have the same karma like dana and sila. But it conditioned various rupa according to the degree of different cetasikas accompanying kusala moment.
If people find it difficult to accept that cittas arise at heart base, can we just say the rupa of heart base is the support condition for cittas?
We can use the term support, but where does citta arise?
Okay.
It's there.
At that place. Uh-huh.
Where does citta arise? Here? Or here?
No.
Or where? Somewhere in the body. Each group of the rupa arises and falls away so fast. So while we are talking now, all rupas which are conditioned to arise have fallen away completely, unknowingly. But it can be the base for citta to arise.
What can be the base?
The rupa. Because it has to be one of rupa here as condition for citta to arise there. We can use the term support, or it doesn't matter at all, because the rupa is paccaya. It's support in its own way to have citta arising there, that's all. Even citta now is arising at the eye base, still is unknown. Everything is unknown, only the story of all realities. While realities right now arise and fall away by themselves, by conditions. Until Panya knows, develops, discern the true nature of reality to see the anattaness of a reality one at a time. That which experience visual object and that which experience sound are different kind of citta. But they are citta, that which can experience a reality. So, no self, no one. Just a moment of experiencing an object at a time. One can smell something right now, right? Where is the smell? In the bottle? Is the smell in the bottle?
Well, I would say that the smell is where the jitter experiences it.
Where it impinges on the smelling consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Even the smell is at the hardness here. But without the nose consciousness, it cannot appear. So we can see the anatta-ness. How can even the smell appear? It has to have the nose base for the smell to impinge. Otherwise, smell cannot appear, and smell arises and falls away. And what conditions the smelling consciousness or the nose consciousness?
Kamma.
Right. So one cannot tell when kamma, which has been done, will produce result through what? Eyes or ears or nose or tongue or body sense. But there must be conditions to condition even a moment of smelling or experiencing an object when it's vipaka. And after that, the anusya condition akusla.
Because we are sitting here and have different smells because of different kamas, different results, because you may smell this, but I smell that strong smell. So it's quite different.
Yeah. But actually, when a kind of smell appearing, we don't know the source of it.
No, no. That's thinking.
Yeah.
Just that smell which appears.
Mm-hmm. For a moment and then completely gone. Each moment is like this, arising and falling away.
It seems to last, because it arises and falls away all the time. Again, again, again.
But when they're seeing, there's no smell.
No. Yeah. And hearing the dog.
Right.
Thinking of the dog.
Yeah. So how fast citta arises and falls away? Like a magician playing a big role.
We say conventionally that some people have weak smelling sense, and we know that the conditions for smelling are the smell and the nose base, and also, of course, karma, which conditions the smelling at that moment. Now, we can say that the nose sense is weak or sluggish. Can one say that the smelling itself is weak, or we can't say that, it's just as it is?
It's only thinking about moment of smelling.
Yes, so it's just as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say the nose sense is sluggish or weak. We were talking about seeing, and someone asked us a question. Conventionally, we say someone has weak eyesight or their eye sense is poor. So we can say the eye sense itself is sluggish, but can one say the seeing is weak?
What about other conditions, like having a cold?
Yes, or for seeing, putting on glasses. So many different conditions.
Dark glass, sunglass, very thick glass.
So it's just as it is at that moment, depending on karma and many different conditions. And the ideas we have of good or bad, I sense, and are just thinking about it afterwards.
And this is a thinking about realities. What about the moment of understanding it?
Just as it is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's why we can understand the moment with awareness, which is different from moment without awareness. It's the real studying reality. It seems like a moment of awareness of our hardness is useless because it's so rapid, very short moment. But actually, without just that short moment, how can panya grow?
So would it be unrecognizable to some degree then?
It will later. Yeah, little by little.
So there's hope.
No, no, it's not just hoping, because it's the moment of experiencing with awareness. After that, one can see the value of just a moment of being aware that is accumulated until panya grows.
But you would say it's so short, the moment of sati, that it may be unnoticeable.
But whenever sati arises, it's different from when sati does not arise.
There must be a
difference. Otherwise, how can one know about sati? See, it's only word.
Yeah.
But at moment when it arises, it's there, not just the word.
Then one may think about it or recognize it. And that's
after,
thinking.
After.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one can distinguish these two moments, with or without. When it's intentionally, at that moment it's not sammasati, because intention is not one of the Eightfold Paths at all. And at the moment of having intention, it's not the right sammasati, because it's not anatta.
I have always found it difficult to know the difference between the moment of sati and no sati. I heard you say it very often, but difficult to know.
What about as natural as now, one object appearing, like hardness?
Or like sound.
Okay. Usually, there's no awareness of hardness at all in a day. But at that moment when hardness arises, it's different from not being aware. Into just there, hardness is there. And at that moment, when panya develops, no body at all.